the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Alrighty.
So. Money.
In.
The.
Bank.
Rats. It's still my turn to talk. Yeah, Money in the Bank happened.
It did.
You okay with that?
I really liked it, yeah. It was, you know, it's becoming one of the more dependable pay-per-views of the year.
Yeah.
By, and, like, up and down, not just the Money in the Bank ladder matches, like, just throughout the entire card, mostly.
It was filled with stuff I cared for, so, you know.
Except for, like, two matches, which, that's not bad odds for them.
We did have a lot of, like, I was kind of like, oh, I forgot that match, but, and that match. Don't we only have two matches left? Why is there two matches and 3 hours left?
Yeah.
So, but, you want to just jump in?
Let us jump in, and we start off with the kickoff, match.
Yes.
Which, it felt like we should have paid for this match. Really solid match. Just all four people involved in this match really pulled out a really good, championship match. Might be one of the better tag team matches that I've seen in recent memory.
It honestly felt like, and I probably give unfair credit to the Shield over the Usos because I like them better, but to try and be fair, it really felt like the guys working in this match, all four of them, felt like, you put me on pre-show.
We're going to make you pay.
Yeah. This is what we do on pre-show. Imagine us on the actual card, so.
Right. Which, you know, that might be by design. That's by, you know, somebody probably figured that if we put these guys in the kickoff show, they'll probably get just pissed enough that they'll, you know, work extra hard to you know, prove everyone else that they should be on the main card.
Yeah. So.
But that would be giving them too much credit. I think they just put them on the kickoff, just to put them on the kickoff.
Yeah. I would like this to be the WWE investing in the pre-show because I've
that's what I want to believe yes that you know. they're really investing in it, especially whenever, you know, they bring in this Yahoo partnership, you know, full on,
right?
So yeah, I'm all for it. I love the match. The Tower of Doom was impressive.
I think I mean I don't have any, like, research or actual memory of other ones to back it up, but I would say best pre-show match ever.
I mean, that's pretty, like, that's, the bar was
no, the bar was pretty low. Like, yeah. The other one that would be maybe was the one, the WrestleMania one, which was Miz and Wade Barrett, which,
Cesaro, whenever Cesaro first won the U.S. Championship,
was that on a pre-show?
Yeah, and it was a pretty good match.
Okay.
I mean, that was before we were really big on him, but, yeah. You know.
I mean, yeah, again, it's something I didn't even...
But I don't remember feeling like this, like I did about this match.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Alright, and on to...
On to the actual show, we have the...
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank Uprising, Fluke Winners, Money in the Bank match. Damian Sandow, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro.
So, this is a match... that this is pretty much more or less the first match my girlfriend ever saw.
Brought her from beginning to end, because you guys showed up like halfway through the kickoff.
Yeah, but this is the one that she watched, and so this is the one she had a review of.
Not a bad way to start.
I know, right?
Like, she had to start like on a regular one-on-one match on Raw, probably completely different view on wrestling, but.
I mean...
That's kind of spoiled.
Yeah.
She got kind of spoiled on that one.
I mean, it's a thing where, like... And I think we've talked about it before. It's like, how do you introduce somebody? Especially, right. You know, someone that would be a significant other. Where, like, you know...
And you're trying to introduce them into a very big part of your life.
So, it's something where, like, you know... I don't totally need you to love it on the level that I do, but... Understand why.
Yeah, you know.
Or maybe just like...
And appreciate why I appreciate it.
Yeah, don't hate it, you know. So, I have all these...
If only that worked all the time.
I know, right? Pat on shoulder.
Thank you, Joel.
Yeah,
so, What was her reaction?
Okay.
That's what I'm curious
about. Yeah, well, again, I was very worried about this. Like, I had the Undertaker Mankind Hell in a Cell match line. I was like, I was going to start with that. I was going to, like...
And this was kind of like a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew you were coming over. I had no idea that she was joining you.
No, it was really spur-of-the-moment. So, I was like, I had Wrestling with Shadows lined up on Netflix.
It's not on Netflix anymore.
It's not on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
See, this is ruining everything.
John, so, on my hard drive, you're good.
So, basically, my, her review of this.
Mm-hmm.
Amusing.
Yes.
Which I'll take. Yes. Done.
There's many, many, many other reactions that are far worse.
Yes.
So, amusing, we'll take
it. Amusing, not as bad as she thought. So... I'm basically...
That's an in.
Yeah. Tappity-tap dancing on the world.
Okay.
So, she would like to say that she is really struggling on getting over the suspension of disbelief on how long it takes people to climb ladders.
And it's something that we as wrestling fans don't really think about just because we're so used to it. We've seen all these ladder matches where they do the exact same thing. But yeah, coming from someone that has an outsider's point of view,
those guys climb ladders so slow,
and they struggle so much with the clamp or whatever.
And kind of a fair point that she made is the other people who are supposed to stop them are lying outside the ring looking up, like how long does it take to stand up and go in the ring? It's what is the cue that it's time to stand up and stop that person? Right. I don't know. Maybe it could go faster than it should.
It could.
It's something that, it's something that got under my skin when I watched ladder matches at the beginning. And
yeah, I'm kind of something you've grown into, used to.
But right on, I was like, I don't know. But, her other point is, if the point of the match is to have a ladder in the ring to reach something, stop throwing ladders out of the ring.
Yeah, that one still kind of gets me every now and then.
Yeah.
Like, especially when they're using a ladder to set up some other spot,
mm-hmm.
but they're trying to make it look natural that, that ladder just happened to end up there. They do that better sometimes than others, but when, they make weird, contraptions out of ladders connected to each other.
Ladder Legos.
Usually, they did a lot more with Shelton Benjamin on the card.
Yeah.
But that really seems... It's a little bit more painful to watch. Not quite as bad as, Bully Ray setups. But it's up there. So I understand that point. Yeah.
So no.
That's a very fair point.
I can't argue those things.
No, not at all.
Just get used to it or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but amusing and not as bad as I thought.
Very good. I will say this as just a point of advice, being in the situation before myself. I found that... any use of CM Punk helps draw in from a storyline perspective. So, just throwing that out there. And I know, it was late and you guys had to go and all that stuff. So, I know she didn't get to see CM Punk.
Yeah.
But just, from here on out, just... It helped, at least in my case, it helped a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the other thing is, obviously, when What Should I Show? The first thought was... the CM Punk all the whole Summer of Punk thing, a highlight.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of I don't know how much of that is inside baseball kind of things, if it's if it translates well enough.
As long as you explain it well, I found out that it really isn't.
Yeah.
Even whenever you try to talk about the Montreal Screwjob, it's a lot of it is inside baseball, but it's interesting inside baseball. And yeah. I think absolutely the same case with Punk in 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a match itself, going on...
As a match itself, it was good. I enjoyed it. It seemed like everyone had their moment. Except for Jack Swagger. I can't remember what he did in this match.
He was part of the Russian circus. That...
Yeah, but not the important part.
No, he was not. That's what he is. He's the base of the Russian circus.
He's the bottom.
Yes. But clearly... There are two men that came out of this match as yes. victors. Because Sandow as the technical victor, rocking that
briefcase. And Cody Rhodes, easily the MVP of the
match. Cody Rhodes was a gorgeous human being.
Oh, yeah. And even what makes this even more wonderful and beautiful is that Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow both have a purpose.
Yeah.
On WWE television. I love that. And that's something that they've been treading water ever since Cody Rhodes or Rhodes Scholars just kind of went nowhere.
Broke up, got back together, broke up, got
right.
back together.
Right. And now we see why they were, treading water.
It
makes sense now.
It really felt like, do you remember when you would have to do like it was a writing assignment like 5th, 6th grade English where like you would write a paragraph and then hand it to somebody and they would write a paragraph and hand it back. It felt like they were doing that in the writer's room. And they broke up. And then they got back together. And then they broke up.
But then they got back together because, this will happen at Money in the Bank.
So, huzzah to them.
Yes.
Well deserved.
Very, very surprised that they put the briefcase on Sandow. Definitely not something we saw coming
at all. No, not a prediction at all, but I'll take it.
Absolutely.
Well done.
So, moving along, we have Curtis Axel and The Miz facing off in another Intercontinental Championship match. I have one question. How much longer is it going to take for them to establish some sort of finishing move for Curtis Axel?
I have another question.
Okay.
The Miz is supposed to be trying to get cheers, and he gets Paul Heyman kicked out of Philadelphia?
True.
What?
True.
How is that supposed to get you cheers?
True. I have no explanation. I have no explanation at all what Miz is doing anymore. And I've said it on Twitter, I'm saying it in my column this week. There was a moment on SmackDown this past week, yes, I watched SmackDown, where Miz actually looked pretty good in the ring. It was him and Ryback, they were having a ring match.
It's been 4 months. He's starting to get it down. That's what I
said. And he was good. And I was like, all right, well, it's going to carry over in this Intercontinental, but no. Not so much. He's still doing the crab walk while he's doing the figure four, and that bugs the crap out of me. Because that completely negates anything that you're trying to accomplish in the figure four from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
And I know nothing about the technical standpoint. And that's coming from, that's coming from me. Like,
the thing is, with, like, we talked about treading water with the other guys. Everybody in this match, save for Paul Heyman now, but everybody in this match is treading water.
Yes.
And I feel like, with Paul Heyman clearly about to be a central figure in the story of the summer. Because I will accept this as my summer story.
Yes,
like, if I don't get another magical thing, I accept
this is
Punk. Heyman thing as my central summer story. Curtis Axel is going to either get totally left behind,
or he's going to be some sort of pawn,
or he's going to be uncomfortably wedged into this story.
Right.
Because there is, 8-year history between Heyman and Punk, with maybe, 10-year history between Punk and Lesnar? I'm putting Lesnar at 2002.
Well,
2003.
Yeah, the collective history between three of them, yes.
Yeah.
It's about 10 years.
So, I don't know if Curtis Axel will feel,
kind of like the odd man out, just, hey guys, I'm here too.
And if he gets smushed in, like, is The Miz gonna get smushed in? I don't want them in my, beautiful summer storyline soup with this weird,
I know, but they like to incorporate as many people as they can.
Somebody going, this is my secret ingredient.
Right, and you're like, okay, you're putting rubber tire shavings into the soup.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Understood, and I agree. Let's just keep the central three characters involved. I can see how they're going to have Curtis Axel kind of play a role, but as long as we keep that a minimal role, like a very supporting role.
I get that he's the physical guy when you can't get Brock Lesnar on Weekly Raw. That's totally fine. I mean, I don't think you want Punk doing too heavy of action on Raw right now either, but apparently not.
True.
Apparently it's totally fine to just throw that man around.
Oh, he's got staples in his head. Who cares? Put him in. Oh, the only other person that has more staples in his head? RVD? Let's put him in a full match with Chris Jericho and reopen him.
Whatever. No big.
It happens, right, guys?
I would like RVD in that match as well. In that feud as well.
You have him up somewhere.
But
and obviously, he's going to be probably a guy that comes to Punk's aid whenever he needs it, whenever Axel and
I'd rather put him on the other side.
Oh, you're like all everyone against.
I like Punk against the world.
Yeah, and because we just rewatched the segment from Raw before mm-hmm. we were recording, and I was listening to Punk's like very, very.
I'm gonna get this one. I'm gonna get your family and your friends. And your
I was room. Like, somebody watch Man on Fire before this Raw. And I love it because I love that movie.
Yeah, no,
I'm all for revenge movies. I love it.
I was gonna go Taken, but rock on.
It's cool. It's the way he delivered that speech. It was more closely to Man on Fire.
Fair enough.
It's like everyone who profited, everyone, like all those steps. I was like, is he reading the script right now? I mean, I love it, but
You know, I like the Paul Heyman in the like boss chair.
Yeah.
The final boss of this journey that Punk has to go on.
Does he have a furry kitten?
I don't know what this freak is. I don't
he's
know
sitting in the boss chair with the sinister cat that he's petting?
Yeah, sure, why not? It's Kill Bill.
Oh, okay, okay. I was thinking more of,
No, it's Kill Paul.
Okay, okay. That fits, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's so many good revenge movies.
I know. This is exactly...
We need to have a revenge movie marathon on our podcast that still haven't seen the light of day.
Absolutely. We'll get to it.
Yeah, one day.
All right, carrying on. Divas?
Divas Championship match, AJ versus Caitlyn. Caitlyn joined by Layla again, because why not?
I love it.
I mean, I'm assuming they're thinking Layla is Caitlyn's Big E.
Sure. Whatever. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so down with this. Like, here's the thing. When they announced Total Divas.
Yes.
And especially when they announced the divas that would be on Total Divas.
Yeah, who they would be featuring.
Except for Natalya. I was like, oh, they're going to have so much WWE screen time. Yeah. I don't care for this. But seemingly coincidentally, like, it shouldn't be a coincidence, because if you have a diva show that you're trying to promote, you should really start getting quality diva stuff.
Divas, yeah.
Except you have two totally different divas that are totally carrying this division right now.
And they're not on the show.
But...
on the Diva show.
Yeah. But whatever. Because...
And I love... Okay. I love the fact that they're featuring divas who are usually the ones that aren't wrestling.
Yeah.
Predominantly, yeah.
The arm candy ones?
Yep.
Or the dancers.
Or the dancers.
And Natalya.
And Natalya.
Who got smushed into arm candy for college.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Natalya.
A wrestler who should be, you know, performing and in the ring, but she's not.
But I'm just like...
We're going to end up watching that show, aren't we?
Yes.
Is it... How less of a man does it make me to really want to see her wedding with Tyson Kidd?
I don't know, I'm going to be doing push-ups the whole time. It'll offset it. I'm just like, testosterone in this room now.
See, that's a good idea.
But you won't do push-ups.
I'll just eat ice cream.
Oh yeah, let's eat ice cream while we watch Total Divas on the E! Channel. No way that can be problematic and construed wrong.
I'm a man's man.
You need somebody to break up with you before that just to justify all of that.
What is it, 2 weeks? Yeah, there's time.
Anyway, my point is, because my expectations have so been continuously beaten down in the Divas division,
right.
I'm continually totally enthralled mm-hmm. with the storyline. Well done, A+, absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah.
A good match with a beautiful submission tap out.
Yeah, that was... It was
clean win. And Big E was on the TV. Wearing a beautiful, brand new window curtain. I loved it.
I love those shirts.
I know, right?
That would be the only reason why I... That would be the only motivation I would ever have to ever get buff.
Was to wear Big E shirts.
To wear Big E shirts. Because they would pull off... I could pull off that, you know, being a pale, freckly guy.
No, I take it. Next up, we have Ryback and Chris Jericho. Of course, Chris Jericho... bites it.
Of course.
Because Chris Jericho can't win a match anymore.
No, I mean, he's just...
It's super cool of the dude to be willing to put young
everyone
guys
over.
Everyone
yeah.
And, like, I am... there's a saying for this. I'm, like, doing something on both ends, or I can't be satisfied or something because I'm about to complain about this, when the likes of, you know...
I was thinking burning the candle on both ends, but that doesn't make sense.
That's working hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's constant complaints about John Cena and Triple H and all these guys refusing to put over younger talent.
And then you got...
And Chris Jericho doing all that.
On the flip side.
Balance, guys. There's a happy medium to these things.
Right.
Because we're
rather than having Cena and Triple H and guys like that win all the time, and then having guys like Chris Jericho just do nothing but lose. Yeah.
And Chris Jericho looks good losing. Like, I get that. But he's... I know he's going to lose.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's beyond lack of investment, because I know he's there to put over guys. And so I want Jericho to have a genuine storyline where he's invested in something. He does Chris Jericho stuff.
Yeah.
And I know that we're probably coming up on the end of this current Chris Jericho run, because he needs to play his little instrument and sing his little songs.
I hate the band. Yes.
But, you know, they're fine. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean...
but that's the thing.
Wait. Did you just say Fozzy is fine?
Sure, why not?
Have you listened to any of their music?
Once or twice.
It's so awful.
I'm sorry, I have no real strong opinion on Fozzy.
Oh,
I like Chris Jericho.
I hate it when you're indifferent. I know you hate something.
Whatever. Carry on.
That's
my review of this one. Come on, guys, balance.
Like, sometimes. And also, I don't know. Seeing how Ryback's, like, his entire run this past year, it just seems weird for him to win a match by roll-up.
Fair enough.
You know?
I am indestructible monster!
A quick backdoor win. Yeah.
So.
It's whatever. We have the World Heavyweight Championship match, Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. Good match.
Ziggler's a beautiful man.
Yeah, and give Del Rio, you know, some credit. Like, he...
No, on...
The both of them have incredible chemistry.
Del Rio has never had a match with anybody as good as the matches he's having with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see these guys fight again.
Yeah. And, you know, Del Rio seems to find himself in these really long feuds, and usually we're, you know, clawing our eyes out, waiting for this to end. This time, it works very well. These two mesh just incredibly well.
Like, it's not been very long.
No.
And so I'm reserving my right to totally do a 180 on my position right now. But I would be totally okay with a Greatest Rivalries DVD on these guys someday. With there being enough footage, with there being enough storylines, these guys returning to each other
to justify
be their main rivals.
Right. Mm-hmm. Although I do believe their feud is pretty much done at this point. You know, considering what happened on Raw.
Yeah.
Where it's going forward with that. So, Ziggler has other things on his mind now. but the match itself was good. Mm-hmm. It was really enjoyable. Then we got the swerve at the end with AJ coming out to... And accidentally, you know, disqualifying Ziggler.
Yeah.
Which led to their breakup the next night. And a ton of fan fiction writers cried themselves to sleep.
Does Big E love AJ?
I'm assuming they're going to go that route eventually.
I mean, it's the easy way to go. I would love for it to not be.
Well, yeah, because that's too easy with AJ's mm-hmm. character to have her go ahead and fall in love with the next guy that's closest to her.
Yeah. So,
I like Big E to be, you know, the awkward friend zone guy.
I could totally take him as a friend zone guy. I'd like him to really have a genuine crush on Caitlyn. And be, like, very emotional that he betrayed Caitlyn.
Yeah, I'm hanging on to that as well as you. We kind of wanted to...
God, it was so entertaining when he came out. And that beautiful, beautiful silk curtain. I loved it. Best thing on television.
Oh, dear Lord, that shirt would keep both of us warm for an entire winter.
Together.
Like not an Earth winter, like a Westeros winter. From Game of Thrones. Like a very long winter.
Seven years.
7 years long winter. Yep.
All right. Next up, we have John Cena defeating Mark Henry by submission.
The worst way to freaking lose to Cena.
Because of Cena's submission move.
Yep. If it was any other submission move, I would probably be a little bit more okay with this.
Is this your people's elbow?
It might be. It might be, because I'm sorry, I... Oh, I give up, my cheeks are being pushed together too hard. No! 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 I'm making a face and joke by pushing my cheeks together. It's ultimate torture.
I mean,
how do you feel when your friends are being tortured?
The thing for me is, like, because there's so much of The Rock that I still love unconditionally and will always return to and forgive The Rock for a lot because he's The Rock. And so that makes the people's elbow hurt all that much worse.
I think, I don't know.
So,
it's pretty much all lost for me.
I don't know if you love Cena that much.
No. No. So. No, right now, I actually, for once in my life, I like Rock a lot more as an actor.
Yeah.
Than a wrestler.
So you don't want
this,
Rock at
this last
WrestleMania 30?
I'm accepting it just because I know it's probably going to happen. I'm not thrilled about it.
I'm torn about
this,
it.
This last run's really, really ruined. Like, it ruined him a lot for me.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough, honestly. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But
I understand that. Like, I'm not dogging you for it. Like, I completely understand that thing.
It's The Rock. I mean, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can't deny that. It is The Rock. He brings in a ton of money. Brings in a lot of viewers that usually wouldn't be watching the product anymore because, you know, if he wasn't there. So, fine. I completely understand it. But me, personally, I've got nothing for him.
No, I mean, there's a lot of complaints about The Rock. Very much justified. I have leveled many a complaint against The Rock and felt very passionate about.
Right.
At the end of the day,
it's
The Rock. I love The Rock. I love Dwayne Johnson. He entertains me, and, you know, I'm happy that he's on my TV.
But you know who I don't have any complaints about?
That people's elbow. Who?
Mark Henry. Yeah, you heard me right, Blair. I've got nothing to complain about with Mark Henry.
Mark Henry. I will...
Like, the match was pretty much what we were expecting it to be.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'm not saying it was great or, you know, it surpassed all expectation. It was pretty much right on par with what we were expecting. Because everything was in the build-up.
Yeah.
You know?
I
don't know. Part of me would have wanted a little bit more out of Mark Henry. Just in case this was his last match, which we don't know if that's the case or not.
But. Right. I have a lot of emotions about this match.
A lot of emotions?
Like, a lot of back and forth feeling about how I feel about this match.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more detail in the article I wrote this week, but, part of me wanted it to be, you know, a Summer of Punk thing where the match was worth the build-up.
Yeah.
And when the build-up is that good, the match is so rarely worth it.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of, like, taking it from Cena, is it Money in the Bank? Stars are realigning. This is it. This is the way that the chips need to fall for that kind of match to happen. And it didn't. You know, it was a fine match. I'm glad it didn't end the show.
Yeah, we would have a different feeling about the show overall.
I think so.
You know?
I think so. But part of it, you know what softens the blow a lot? That Daniel Bryan isn't that the new number one contender.
Oh, that makes everything better.
I know, right?
Oh,
that is Lord. That is the hot bath after the long day of manual labor.
Credit to WWE, they could have not been in a better venue to announce that.
Yeah.
Because, holy crap, Brooklyn came unglued.
Yep. No, that was...
As did I. Like, I... Because, I mean, we all knew it was coming.
I was a little scared.
You were a little scared?
I was a little scared.
Just, I thought it was just the fact that they didn't have Daniel Bryan on stage, or visible on stage, I should say. You know, and, you know, him going down the line, and every time the crowd would do the yes chants, the cameras would actually cut to, you know, the crowd. If they were trying to go a different direction, they would have completely ignored him.
When I don't know if this is supposed to, like, be a swerve, or I don't know exactly the way, but it got me if it was. When he acknowledged the chance, and he's like, I know, I respect the beer too, but... And I was like, not but, no! Don't say something!
Fair enough. Yeah, he was. I think he was just trying to keep the suspension.
No, it worked for me. I'll be totally honest. Like,
I love that. You know, he said that, and the only thing you see is Daniel Bryan's little fist.
Yeah.
You know, behind everyone.
So, anyway, we move on to our mainest of events.
The Money in the Bank All-Star Spectacular Hyperbole Money in the Bank match. Yep. And, good reason.
Yeah.
We got Randy Orton, Rob Van Dam, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, and Christian. Kane was unable to compete, and they didn't fill his position with anyone. So, again, one of those things where everyone really had their big moment to shine. A lot of injuries, a lot of blood.
Yeah.
People
got hurt.
People got hurt. CM Punk got the 13 stitches. I think Rob Van Dam got 14 or 15. Rob Van Dam got hurt.
First night back.
I know.
But, I mean, whatever. Second night back, he has a full-on match.
I believe Randy Orton got a few boo-boos. I think Daniel Bryan came out pretty clean, by and large.
Fair enough. Like,
Christian chipped a tooth. And I know we get on this guy a lot, but Sheamus took some pretty bad bumps and probably got hurt most of all. Like, I've seen the Twitter photos of his thigh, and it's basically twice the size it should be.
The hate train for Sheamus continues, but I will gladly admit. Yeah, completely acknowledge.
Well, first of all, okay.
The guy takes a bump.
First of all, he takes a bump. I believe that injury, if I'm not mistaken, came from him apparently being unable to fall off a ladder correctly.
Yeah.
Because I think he hung on to the title whenever someone was pushing the ladder out of the way a little bit too long. And then he just kind of fell backwards and just landed straight, like his side, like right on the leg of the ladder, and I thought he was just done at that point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he took the bump at the end that really did him in, and it was, you know, the ladder that was the bridge between the ring and the announce table.
Yeah. We'll get to the CM Punk stuff in a second, but
right.
Really, what do you think about Orton being the victor, Orton now having that title shot?
It makes sense. Like, he was pretty much what we had predicted he was going to win.
We predicted him or Daniel Bryan.
Right. And that's just the way things were heading towards. Like,
yeah.
It was just all the arrows pointed to either of them. And it just knowing how everyone backstage feels about Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And him still kind of, you know, the comeback and everything. It made sense.
My other question, though, is last year, Cena broke the never, you know, fail. He was the first to fail a cash-in.
I thought you were talking about that. He was the first one to break the handle.
No. He did break his handle, though.
Yes.
So do you think that will, like, kind of, if they were hesitating to have that happen, will it is it possible that it's more likely to happen now with these two briefcases and going forward from here?
You're saying that it might be more likely that they would be willing to have the
somebody lose.
I don't know. I think they would. They still want to keep that
as an almost guarantee,
right? Like they really do like that tagline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think they're going to try to keep that as, you know, as long as they can, as long as it serves the point of whatever storyline they're going for now.
Right.
If it fits the storyline for the guy to lose and they build something from that, then, you know, fine. But, yeah, like, I just really think they want to keep that going, that the mystique about being Mr. Money in the Bank.
And basically getting to call your moment of when you want to be champion.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, we have two champions.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that Sandow is not going to cash in anytime soon.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask you, you know, because since they've started the Money in the Bank pay-per-view back in 2010, you know, they have two different Money in the Bank winners every single time. And history basically shows that they really don't like having two guys holding the briefcase at the same time for very long.
Yeah.
So, I'm assuming you're believing Randy Orton's going to be the first one to cash in relatively soon.
What I would have liked to happen, I thought it would have been cool, and it occurred to me, like, as it was happening, when he comes out and says, you know, he's like, John, I'm not going to say when I fight you, because that's dumb, and you were dumb last year for doing that and paid the price. But I will say, watch your back, because I'm getting you in expected. I would have liked him to say, before I'm cashing in before SummerSlam. You won't know when, but I'm cashing in before SummerSlam. Or before, you know, arbitrary date in the future. So there is this, you know, kind of countdown clock. There is this much smaller window than a year.
Yeah.
Because a year is a long time. But if you, like, sometime in the next month.
And the biggest swerve is he would do it the day after that date. You know, like, it's like, oh yeah, by this pay-per-view, and then he just does it on that Raw that right after.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't say that, but the reason we picked Randy Orton was because he was pseudo-feuding with Daniel Bryan. There's a very good chance Daniel Bryan will be champion sooner than later.
How? I don't know. I'm trying to piece in my mind already how they can, they're going to have Daniel Bryan beat Cena. I don't know.
I mean,
unless they're completely willing to put Daniel Bryan over.
Give him that clean win.
But I'm not sure about that. Like, they're not, they weren't even willing to give that to CM Punk.
I know.
And they're much higher on him than they tend
to. But are they higher, were they higher on him back then than they are on Daniel Bryan now?
I don't know.
And
yeah, that's because they're playing, they're definitely playing up the storyline, because, you know, Triple H was making, you know, he was talking to Brad Maddox in his office. He'd be like, yeah, we know who Cena's going to pick. Mm-hmm. We know Vince isn't going to like that, because Vince isn't necessarily too high on him, you know, setting that all up.
Yeah.
So, they might have gotten higher up on him lately, which, you know, we were starting to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're that high up on him.
I don't know. I mean, whatever it is, then the easy thing is Night of Champions will have a triple threat match.
Right, yeah.
Between the three guys. Because, yeah. Randy Orton will cash in quickly, and then both John Cena and Daniel Bryan will have rematch clauses.
Yes.
There's also, you could easily do some sort of, you know, kerfuffle where he cashes in, like, on the two count somehow. Like, it's one, two, cash in, and so, like, they're not sure which one he's supposed to pin. Like, you gotta do something new with the briefcase.
Right.
And I'm just spitballing, trying to think of, like, oh, that's never happened before. And somehow there's a question as to, it's in confusion as to who Randy Orton cashed in on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he cashed in on a kick out and then, you know, pinned the wrong guy. And so there's argument over who the rightful champion is. Blah, diddy, blah, diddy, blah, diddy, blah, diddy, blah. Point is that all three of these guys seem to be in the title scene right now. Not going anywhere.
Right.
Especially if, I think I predicted Cena to be going for Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which you did too, and a lot of people did. So Cena's kind of got these next 6 months to fill. So he either needs a new heel to face, which he doesn't really have.
No, especially because we have all these new faces.
We have a bunch of new faces. Punk is occupied. And, you know, at my dream feud right now has Punk fighting, like, four heels.
True.
So, I can see it happening.
Yeah, and have this kind of be a drawn-out thing.
Yeah. Or John Cena will defeat and dismantle the Shield.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting around that. I would really want someone else to do it,
mm-hmm.
or some other factor be the reason why they split up. But, you know, they've been together for a long time.
They're going on a year?
Almost a year. It'll be a year, I think, going to the Survivor Series. Yeah.
A year Survivor Series. So.
I mean, there's we've seen worse way to have John Cena kill time.
Yeah. Embrace the hate.
Ugh. I love Kane, but that was horrible.
I did not love Kane at that moment.
Dude.
I did not, no. So, and that's Money in the Bank. And that's most of
Raw.
We did not.
We didn't talk about the CM Punk thing.
Right, so CM Punk is in feuding with Paul Heyman.
Yes.
Long story short. this is the storyline he came back for.
Yeah.
Like, when he left after
WrestleMania, and yeah, like, you know, even that match against Chris Jericho, there was, like, little seeds planted for this, that, yeah, this is absolutely what he came back for.
And this is, you know, and we are kind of like, what is left for Punk? He's never going to top the title reign that he had, so it'd be nice to have him champion again, but, you know, he has that. He has the longest title reign. He's never
going to have to do something else that happens to... Right. Lead him to the championship or something right. like that, yeah.
He had his match against... He had a title match at WrestleMania. He had a match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He hasn't closed WrestleMania.
Which is something that we all know that's definitely something on his to-do list.
Yeah, and he's not closing WrestleMania 30, just because there's going to be so many big names. I love him. He's not closing it. He's not closing WrestleMania 30.
Right. Unless they were able to pull out him and Stone Cold. That they could... They could turn that.
I still don't think that would close WrestleMania 30. I think Cena versus Undertaker or Brock versus Rock would close it.
Fair enough, yeah.
I mean, and those are the three clearly going to happen matches that have been, like, spitballed around.
Right.
And so, but I do think he has a very good shot of closing WrestleMania 31.
Alright.
Do
you think he'll be around long enough for that?
I don't know.
Because a lot of people, you know, aren't so sure about that.
That is 2015. He has said he is retiring in 2015.
Right.
He has also said, though, he's sticking around when he's got stuff to stick around for.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that was kind of the thing.
And that's what I kind of got away from that statement. It's like, yeah, I am aiming for 2015, you know, but if there's something for me to do that's compelling and I enjoy doing it, then fine, I'll stick around for that.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, which could mean leaving earlier or leaving later.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But this is, you know, this is clearly the storyline. It's like, we have not done this. It is, you know, these two guys have a huge history. It is time for them to feud with one another. It is time for them to talk to each other on microphones. Mm.
Oh, dear God, did they ever.
Mm.
So, I love it.
I love it. And so, obviously, yeah, Brock Lesnar's going to be the heavy here. Totally cool with that. That's his job.
Yeah, oh, yeah, dear Lord. If he ever had a job, it would be that.
That match better steal SummerSlam, you guys. After
if it doesn't close, then yeah.
After Brock Lesnar broke SummerSlam last year.
This would be a good consolation.
Yes.
This would be a great consolation.
I am accepting your apology in forms of fantastic SummerSlam matches this year.
You know
year.
What I like so far?
What?
They haven't announced a concert.
Mm.
This is early.
I know. It's like, don't jinx that.
But so far, no Kevin Rudolph.
No concert.
But instead, we are getting this weird promo video of, like, old pictures of wrestlers.
Kids and now, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make... Like, it has very, like, what was it, though? WrestleMania 23, the theme was All Grown Up.
Yeah.
And then it opened with, like, a weird promo of, like, kids dressed up as, you know, superstars, like, the kid Undertaker was really just silly.
I mean, I thought we were supposed to get, like, really attractive wrestlers walking slow motion out of the water with, like...
Well, yeah, there's surfing and I've stuff. Seen that promo, too. Something, of course, with the Bella Twins.
Of course, with the Bella Twins.
I forgot who else was in it. I kind of lost brain activity. I do that whenever the bubbles are on the TV screen. I just... My brain shuts off.
Thanks, Jerry Lawler. You're the Jerry Lawler of this podcast. Did you know that?
I wasn't speaking in that terms, like just the fact that
that makes me the JBL of this podcast.
Or the Cole.
I'd take it. Cole's a delightful man that I'm totally enamored with.
I wasn't being all pervy Jerry about it. I'm saying, like, they're on the screen, my mind shuts off because I just don't have the energy I hate it when they're on the screen. Let's put it that way. That's why my brain shuts off.
Whatever. My point is, CM Punk, this feud, I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
It's going to be beautiful. Every week, CM Punk's going to have a microphone, Paul Heyman's going to have a microphone, they're going to talk to each other. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Can you imagine, just like, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we were about to lose CM Punk. There was no Paul Heyman. There's no Brock Lesnar. There's no Rob Van Dam. And, like, they're just flooding back. It's beautiful, and I love it.
Yeah, like I never would have guessed that we would be here.
I know, right?
At this point. Now, if you know, you told me, oh yeah, Cena's going to be champion. I was like, yeah, of course.
Of course Cena's going to be champion. I don't know. But
we'd be more okay with it. We're okay with it now just because, you know, we've had all this other stuff to keep our attention.
I still feel like if you had told me 2 years ago that Cena was still champion, I'd be like, the torch has not been passed. Pass that torch. It's been 2 years. Like, if you tell me right now that Cena will be champion in 2015...
I would believe it. God, I'd be upset about that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I would be happy.
I mean,
yeah.
Again, like...
But then again...
My dream stuff right now is Cena and Punk closing out WrestleMania 31.
That would be good.
For the championship.
Yeah. If I were to tell you 2.5 years ago that we would have a SummerSlam championship match between John Cena and Daniel Bryan, and essentially a face-versus-face match where both of them are way, way over. You never would have believed that, would you?
Do you think that's the most unbelievable thing?
To be honest with you, yeah, because they'll go... Daniel Bryan, just two years ago, was just winning the Money in the Bank for the first time.
Yeah.
He was still, you know, very clean-cut, you know, gee golly good guy that, you know,
we
loved him.
I was so, and, you know, I was so certain that Daniel Bryan would be champion and would be a main eventer.
I never would have, at that, two and a half years ago, I never would have guessed WWE actually would have gone with him.
See, I just,
maybe a heavyweight championship, not WWE, and definitely not putting him up as a face against John Cena. If they wanted to just turn him heel or something like that and just made him the despicable heel that they turned him into at the end of 2011, then yeah. I would have kind of believed that, and then, oh yeah, well, John Cena's going to completely squash him. Now we're talking about maybe Daniel Bryan is probably going to win against John Cena. Like, we never would have entertained that thought 2 years ago.
I think I would have. Honestly.
I would have hoped.
I don't want to be like, no, I saw that kind of thing. But, like, even after the Nexus stuff happened, like, after he got fired after that, like, Nexus debut thing, I was like, oh, he'll be back.
I had a feeling for that,
It might take a while. He'll be back. It just... I felt very... Now, granted, I felt very certain that John Morrison would be WWE champion, too, at some point. Yes. So, like, I'm not having,
comes
like...
with a grain of salt, yes.
There's not a beautiful, you know, unscathed track record here.
Right.
But I always felt like it was a given that at some point Daniel Bryan would be a main event champion. Mainstay in the championship.
Yeah, like, I don't think anyone would disagree with you that we all knew that if Daniel Bryan was ever given the shot, then absolutely.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I assumed he would get the shot.
Yeah, I was very pessimistic about two and a half years ago because I was convinced WWE would never give him a shot.
I didn't think Punk would.
That's what kind of changed it all. Just the whole thing with Punk. You're like, okay, well, apparently it's anything's possible if you just freaking go for it. Then yeah.
I believe that Lesnar could come back someday, because I was like, eventually he's going to have to...
I had that feeling as well, yeah.
Did not think Paul Heyman would come back, though.
Dude.
That was a shocker.
Absolutely.
Did not think Rob Van Dam would ever come back.
With the two strikes, yeah.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Yeah, no. I would have thought Kurt Angle or Sting would have come to WWE before Rob Van Dam came back.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe one of the Hardys. That would be stretching it. Preferably Jeff. Even though he's still not great.
I could believe in the next 2 years the Hardys would be back.
I couldn't believe Jeff. I don't know about Matt sometimes. That might just be me hoping that Matt doesn't come back just to stay where he is. He seems to be doing good now. I'm okay with that.
You don't think they'd bring him back as the Hardy Boys?
Yeah, they would. I know they would.
No, that's what I'd do.
Otherwise, then Matt Hardy's not going to do anything.
I don't totally trust either one of them with a solo run.
No.
Like,
granted, you know, Jeff is doing better. He's gotten cleaner, I think.
Jeff is doing better, but
man, I know Matt Hardy's was cleaned up, and
a lot of what Jeff is doing in TNA right now, like, the cheers he's getting is because he's Jeff Hardy more than because what he's doing is good.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think if he came back to WWE, he'd have to do good stuff again.
Because that's
not that he's doing bad stuff now. He's doing perfectly fine wrestling.
Right. And I feel like that's why he was getting such a big reaction before he left WWE. Like,
yeah.
He was on a really good run for Jeff. And you know, some of that had to do with the fact that he is Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
And the Hardy Boys and all that stuff. But he was so over before he left.
Mm-hmm.
It would be kind of hard to imagine that that wouldn't carry over if he ever came back. I'm pretty sure a good bit of it would.
I mean, no, he that pop, if he came back like that, opening,
it would be pretty huge.
That would explode. That'd be beautiful. Maybe. And, you know.
Maybe that was, you know, shopped in cheers on SmackDown. Whatever.
No, totally fair. Like, if Jeff Hardy comes back in 7-8 months and, you know, hits it with the fans and within a year is champion, that would not surprise me.
Right.
I would not say I never saw that coming. But at the same time, if he comes back, kind of flounders, then gets a Hardy Boys thing, they get a tag team run, and
that would also not surprise you.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if Jeff Hardy came back, got a third strike, got kicked out forever, that also would not surprise me.
Fair enough. I refuse to be surprised by Jeff Hardy. That is the moral of this story.
Pretty much, because we've seen everything from him. We've seen highs, we've seen super lows.
Yep. So,
I mean, the only memory I have of him in TNA is him coming out for that match against Sting, completely zonked out of his mind.
Yeah.
And granted, I don't watch a whole lot of TNA, and I only knew that because I heard people talking about it, and I looked up on YouTube. And I'm like, wow, he's super messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know he's fine, he's better now.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
And we hope he stays that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For as a man, as, you know, for his own well-being, absolutely.
As decent human beings in this world, I genuinely hope all good things for him. But
yes.
I would not be surprised, unfortunately.
Really make us North Carolinians look great.
Whatever happens, I mean, yeah, because I've seen so much from Jeff Hardy, and so much could happen.
Yeah.
And I do still believe that he could pull out some crazy career-defining stuff.
Yeah.
He still has the ability to have matches that will be on the DVD career retrospective. Yeah, all those have not been had yet, if he does right. So.
And this is if he comes back. There's no rumors suggesting that he might.
Yeah, no.
Rumors come out like this around this time every year, you know, we'll get the Sting rumors and... And year-round, we just get Batista rumor after Batista rumor. Even though he says on Twitter so many times, like, guys, it's not going to happen.
Calm down.
Calm down. I'm doing Guardians of the Galaxy. Calm down. I'm kind of busy.
Yep.
So there's that.
Whatever. I'd like Batista to come back.
I would. Bring in, you know, he could bring some Guardians of the Galaxy with him.
They should be a tag team. Chris Pratt
looks so cut right now.
I know.
You saw those pictures?
Yes. Like, they have to comment on it in Parks and Rec. They talked about it. Like, we have to... Like, we won't make a big story about it, but we have to make a comment on how good Chris Pratt looks now.
Well, that one was because he got all buff for... Or buff-ish for Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine what they're going to say this time because he doesn't even look like the same dude. Like, if he didn't have, like, that same, like, little scraggly beard in that picture, never would have guessed that was Chris Pratt. But now I can totally believe him and Batista being a tag team.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the guy is a galaxy.
TNA would pull that stuff. Why can't WWE do that?
Do it. Do it, WWE. I would invest. All right. Let's do Chris's stupid segment and then carry on.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Chris's stupid
segment. That's right, it's time for the mail sack! Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail sack. So, the mail sack is so full today. It is bursting with questions and comments.
There's no good response to that, so just start with the first
one. Every response is good for that. And you know it's true. Alright, first one comes from Twitter. This comes from @Cubez. And he's responding to the Bray Wyatt segment. And basically, he's saying the him attacking R-Truth, like, this is exactly what we were looking for with Bray Wyatt. It was very creepy. And also, what's up?
So
I enjoyed the segment. We got to see a little bit more from Bray Wyatt himself.
Honestly, here's the thing. Like, when we were watching the segments, like, the night of the debut and, like, the week before, I was watching those, and we were just, like, asking each other, why the person who has directed this move, these segments, why do they not have a hard movie contract?
Yes.
And, you know, because they're just that good. And I thought about it, I'm really like, no, genuinely, why is there not a hard movie? Why is there not a Wyatt family movie? Why didn't they just make, like, they have a production studio. You make, like, a cheap little $2 million movie. Mm-hmm. You throw it out, you easily get your money back because...
It's $2
million. These movies are clearly getting their money back because they keep making these WWE movies. And you do it, they do the whole movie in character. And you have a full-on backstory. People are paying to own the backstory. And then those characters genuinely show up on TV.
That would
you have the whole motivation in that 90-minute movie, and then they come out on the TV.
I like that idea, actually.
Why did that not happen?
Because that's smart.
I want that to happen, and I would pay money for a WWE movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because then we would understand a little bit more exactly what they're going for with the Wyatt family. And now apparently they're... This is all about Kane now. At least that's what they're alluding to.
Yeah. Well, they were mad at Kane. They attacked R-Truth.
Yeah, and then they're, you know... Then right before they demolished R-Truth for the final time, they, you know, said Kane... You know, follow the buzzards.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
So.
But yeah, I really like that idea, actually.
Right?
Because they're so, like, all... That's what I love about the three guys in Wyatt family. They are so invested in their own characters. They're going all out, and I love it when people do that.
I mean, these are full, genuine characters.
Yes.
Like,
and the problem is we don't know what their backstory is, and we don't know what their purpose is right now.
Right.
So, that's, you know, my only complaint. And again, I want to see more of Bray Wyatt in the ring.
Yeah.
Than, you know, the other guys. But that's just me. Because I really like him in the ring. So, there's that. So, Neil asks us, in order to be a truly great wrestler, which is more important? Looking good in the ring or making your opponent look good in the ring? I feel it's got to be a good balance of both.
It definitely has to be a balance.
Right. But which is more important?
Important?
Probably looking good.
I guess it's looking good, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, ultimately, the wrestling business, you have to kind of look out for yourself. So, at the end of the day, you're going to do what you can to make yourself look good. Because you're not always going to be working with a wrestler that's going to work with you.
Right.
Or be able to pull off everything. So, you might as well make yourself look good. You know, you see guys like Chris Jericho that can do both, and he's willing to put guys over all day.
Right.
So,
I mean,
it's got to be a good
end of the day. Both. If you don't look good in the ring, you're not going to make it.
Right.
And eventually you're going to stop making others look good, because beating a guy that doesn't look good only will take you so far.
Yeah.
Then you're 3 and B.
Yeah.
I mean... so, yeah, clearly, obviously, there has to be a balance, totally crushing opponent after opponent makes you right back.
Yeah.
It makes you, you know, so, there's a balance that has to be struck, but if I have to choose on an either-or scale, looking good in the ring, because Ryback got to fight Chris Jericho on a pay-per-view, and 3MB did not.
True story. This comes from Jonah with Rob Van Dam and Chris Jericho's match on Monday Night Raw. With that being so good, what other opponents are you looking forward to seeing RVD take on?
Everybody!
True. That is not an incorrect statement. Obviously, the first one that pops up in mind would be him and Daniel Bryan. That would be a great match. And a match we never thought we would have gotten.
That would have been a bouncy match.
Very bouncy match.
I would like to put that match on pogo sticks.
Or trampoline?
Yes.
Okay.
Put it on trampoline. Everybody has to be on a pogo stick at all times. Like, they just tape pogo sticks to their feet.
I love it.
It's been an amazing match. Honestly, right now I'm dream booking sticking RVD in the Paul Heyman CM Punk thing.
Right.
Which means that I'm saying RVD versus CM Punk. But yeah, everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
I did not expect to feel like as nostalgia power to see that frog splash on Monday Night Raw as I ended up there. I was like, oh, it's been a while since I've seen that.
Yeah.
Like,
It felt good.
It did.
And it's one of those things, like, again, we really didn't play up the RVD thing because, it's RVD. We've seen him once again, blah, blah, blah. It just seemed like he was in different gear.
I think
maybe
it's
just because he actually likes being there. Because we heard how fed up he was with TNA, especially by the end of his run.
I think he's very irritated with TNA.
He's appreciative of the fans, making such a loud noise for him. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's hard, and I try really hard not to, but wrestlers that go from WWE to TNA look a little has-been-y. And it's difficult to get that stigma off of you. And I think RVD did a great job at it. I think Kurt Angle, that effort. I think Jeff Hardy's doing great at that.
Yeah.
I mean, to get that, I can still bring it kind of thing. But, I don't know how many specific TNA fans there are. I think a lot of TNA fans are TNA WWE fans. So, as exciting as it is to see you come over to, even if that's their preferred brand, they're seeing you in a ring that was not performing for a crowd that you used to perform for.
Mm.
You're walking down a ramp that's a lot shorter than you used to walk down.
Yeah.
And it's different, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a struggle. I think it probably felt really good for RVD to walk down a ramp that length to a crowd that size Sunday.
I bet. Like, oh, yeah. That'd feel good.
So.
And I'd walk on that awkward elevated ramp.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, it was good to see him. It was good to see that he could still pull off all that stuff and wasn't nearly as botchy as some of his stuff that I've noticed on TNA. But again, that part of that has to go with, who he was working with at the time, so. His match against Chris Jericho was really, really well done.
Yeah.
So Blair asks, this Cody thing, is it going to work? He wants us to predict how that's going to happen.
I said yay. We were pretty high on Cody last time he asked us about you. I think you were with
me. Yeah. We were still kind of iffy about him just because he hadn't really done anything in the past year. Now that he has actually something to do, I think we're going to see exactly what Cody can do, what we've seen him do in the past. I still think he's got a lot to bring to the table.
This is kind of his first face run.
Yeah.
Maybe, I can't think of another. He might have had one.
He first debuted as a face, and he turned whenever he, out of nowhere, he jumped ship from Bob Holly and joined Ted DiBiase. Before they joined Randy Orton.
Okay, yeah, when it was first
just the two of them, yeah.
So
it's been a long time.
Yeah, so I think this is the run to push him to the top.
Oh yeah.
If he is destined to be a top tier worker, this is the run that will push him or get him stuck in R-Truth territory.
Yeah, definitely. It would get him a lot closer than, treading water with Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah. I mean, I want it to work. I think he looked great on Sunday.
I agree.
I am more excited to see him come out now because of what I saw on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's going to fight Sandow. And that's pretty.
Yeah, it is very pretty.
I'm actually probably going to watch SmackDown because hopefully Sandow will have a microphone and explain his reasonings for what he did in classic Sandow fashion.
Very true.
So
I'm okay with that. Blair had a follow-up question. He wanted to know, does the mail sack get tighter as it fills up?
I assume it gets saggier.
No, it's so large. We've never reached that capacity point yet.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Like, so far, it's, you'll notice it gets pretty full, but nothing to that extent where it's
And so you're issuing a challenge to try and
fill it up.
The mail set.
Absolutely, each and every week. Let's see how much this thing can hold.
All right.
Just keep it away from the Viper.
You can't do that. We discussed
this. And Jonah, in response to Blair's question, he wanted to know, does the mail sack ever partake in mailscaping? Obviously not, because every week we wonder why there's hair in it.
Yes. That one. That's the only response.
Thank you.
I have no additional... I have nothing to add.
No mailscaping tips?
For the rest of this podcast, I have nothing to add. Call me back when we're doing plugs. I'm done. I cannot.
Well, ring ring.
Oh, hello.
Mail sack's empty.
Alright. Oh, man. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We do oodles of fun. Do live tweeting of Raws. And
occasional Q&As.
Yeah, tweets throughout the week.
I get bored on the weekends at work, so it happens.
So, yeah, definitely join us there. Lots of fun.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, hate mail, love mail, anything you want us to address here on the show, you can send those to our email account. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. Let's see how full we can get this mail set.
We are also on iTunes. Find us there. Click the subscribe button. You get new episodes automatically sent to you every week. You can give us a review of
5 stars.
Give us a write a review of nice words.
We like nice words.
And it'd be wonderful for all involved.
And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, go ahead and check out all the other columns. Both me and Joel have columns coming out this week. I'm going to go a little bit more in depth on everything that happened at Money in the Bank. What you got coming this week?
I'm doing my emotional reactions to Mark Henry not winning and John Cena continuing to be a champion.
Fair enough.
So,
we love emotional Joel.
Yep.
He got us the Sheamus rant.
Oh, yeah, that one.
And it got us Pat.
Oh, Pat.
Who still hasn't responded.
Come on, Pat.
Come on. Pat or anyone else.
Or any Pat stand-in.
If you want to actually have a... If you actually have some sort of defense, a logical defense for Sheamus.
Or illogical.
Or illogical. We don't care. Send those also to the email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. We really want this debate to happen. So, do it.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.